I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. I will face my fear. I will permit it to pass over me and through me. And when it has gone past, I will turn the inner eye to see its path. Where the fear has gone, there will be nothing. Only I will remain. For those of you who don't know, that quote is from the book called Dune. And the main character, Paul Atreides, repeats that phrase over and over and over again. I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death. And he repeats this phrase over and over and over again because throughout the story, he faces choice after choice after choice. And each time he faces a choice, he holds the life of himself, the life of the people he cares about, and ultimately in the story, the life of the entire universe in his hands. And if he allowed fear to rule his heart, to rule his decisions, he could make the wrong choice. It would kill himself. It would destroy everything around him. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death. And fear does not just kill a character in a story's mind. Fear kills our minds. And fear causes us to make the wrong choices. And this is important because Jesus told us that each and every person on the planet faces a choice. We can either love one master or we can hate the other. We can love the other master or we will hate the other. We must choose this day who we will serve. Because you cannot love more than one master. You cannot love God and love money. You cannot serve God and serve your job. You cannot serve your family and serve God. You must choose this day who will be the ultimate master in your life. You can either lay up treasures in heaven, where they will never perish, or lay up treasures on earth, which will eventually rust and rot away. But I don't think anybody sitting here are waking up each morning and saying, you know what? Today is a really good day to not serve God. You know, today is a really good, you know, I've met my quota of laying up treasure in heaven. You know, I've done a lot this month. I think it's time to balance it out. Let's lay up some treasure on earth and things are going to be good. Today I'm going to serve, fill in the blank. I don't think any of us are waking up in the morning or actively saying, you know what? I've served enough of God today. So then why do so often do we find ourselves serving anything but God? Well, fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death. Fear is what causes us to say, I can't serve this. I need to serve something other than God. If I don't, everything will fall apart. If I don't, how will I hold on to what I have? We are afraid of what we cannot control. We are afraid of the unknown. And Jesus, he knew this. He knew that so often what causes us to not choose to follow God is our own fear. So that's why after he said, you must choose this day who you serve, you can serve one master or the other, you cannot serve them both, he said what we are going to be reading today. So if you would like to open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, that's where we're going to be. And if you do not have a Bible with you, you can raise your hand and the ushers will bring a Bible to you from the back. And please consider that our church's gift to you if you don't own a Bible. But we'll be in page 661 in those Bibles. So Jesus says, you must choose who you will serve. You can love one master or you will hate the other. You cannot love them both. And then in chapter 6, verse 25, he says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Jesus knows the hearts of the people who are listening to him. They are concerned. These are poor Jewish people who have been oppressed by the Romans. Their biggest fears and concerns in their life is, what am I going to be able to eat? What am I going to be able to drink? What am I going to be able to wear? Is my family going to be taken care of? Will I be able to make it to the next day? Will I last? Will I have something to hold on to? Jesus knows what their greatest fears are. And we often share these fears of, God, what is tomorrow going to bring? God, will I have a job tomorrow? Will I have security tomorrow? What will my family become? What will my reputation be? God, what is my life going to be? We have these same fears, and Jesus, he knows our fears. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Why? Well, in verse 26, he says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Jesus says, look up at the birds. The birds, they don't go around. You don't see birds gathering in the trees, having a committee and saying, you know what, guys, winter is coming. And we have not put aside enough worms today. We're going to be starving during the winter. We need to gather up our worms. You know, Frank, you haven't gathered enough twigs for our nest. We need to get some more going. We are falling apart here. You don't see birds doing that. That'd be ridiculous. The birds of the air, they know, they have instincts that God has given them. Hey, get up in the morning, early bird gets the worm. They get the worm, they eat it, they make their nest, they're prepared. Our Heavenly Father cares so much for all the little birds in the air to make sure that they have something to eat, a place to live. How much more, if he cares for these little birds, does he care for you and me, who are made in his image, who he has made special and unique and different from all the rest of creation? If God cares for the birds, how much more will he care for us? And in reality, all of our stress, all of our worries, all of our fears, they will never give us anything. You can't add on an hour, a minute, a second to your life with fear or worry. All it will ever do is take away the time that you have already been given. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious, not just because of the birds, but he also says in verse 28, and why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? The lilies, the flowers, they're these beautiful things that you can go and look at. I mean, we give them as gifts. They decorate our houses. We love flowers because they are beautiful. They are wonderful. But you don't see the lilies of the field waking up in the morning and say, oh my goodness, my petals, what happened? My leaves, they've been eaten up by ants. There's been stuff devouring them. What are the other plants going to think of me? What are the trees going to say? They're going to look at me and say, get this guy out of here. He's making the whole field look terrible. The lilies, they don't care. They can't think. And yet, God has made each of the flowers more beautiful than Solomon ever was. And Solomon was the richest king of Israel, this majestic, wise person who had all the gold you could imagine, all the most beautiful things. And yet, God's creation, his flowers, are far more beautiful. And if God cares so much for the plants that one day they'll be alive and be beautiful and we'll admire them, and the next day the sun will beat down and scorch it, or the snow will come down and cover it up. If God cares so much for his creation that will only last an instant and then it's gone, how much more does our Heavenly Father care for you and me, who will last forever, who have an eternal soul that will never, ever die? How much more does God care for us than the lilies of the field? Therefore, Jesus says, do not be anxious. But at the end, he says, O you of little faith, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we think, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things. The unbelievers, the people who don't know God, that's what they care about. But we want to interrupt Jesus and say, Jesus, You don't understand. You don't understand how difficult this is. Do you really know what I'm going through? Do you really care? If you knew the fears I faced, if you knew the things in my life, you wouldn't say, don't be anxious, oh, you little faith. God, you don't understand. My job is on the line. God, the next week I don't know what will happen. God, my house is on the line. It might not be here next week. God, you don't understand. God, you don't understand. I've had the worst news of my life. How can you say, do not care, do not be anxious, do not worry? Jesus, if you truly say that, then you must not understand. Then you must not really see. How could you say, do not worry, when all of my life I face these struggles, this pain? We want to interrupt Jesus and say, what? Don't you see? Don't you care? But Jesus wasn't done yet. Because in verse 32, he says, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. I imagine us in our anguish and our despair, we're sitting down and God, he sees us. He doesn't yell at us. He doesn't accuse us, but he sits down next to us, puts an arm around our shoulder, holds our tears in his hands, listens to our cries. Jesus could have chosen any description of God that he wanted. The Bible is full of names of God and ways that he's described. He could have said, don't worry, the great I am who always was, always is, always will be, he's the one who knows all that you need. He could have said, the creator of the universe, the one who formed you out of the dust, he's the one who knows all that you need. But instead he said, your heavenly Father. God is our heavenly Father who knew us before we were born, who waited with anticipation, with excitement to see the day that we would burst forth from the womb. He was there in our most joyous, exciting moments when we took our first steps, when we celebrated the good of life, the blessings that are around us. But he has also been there in our lowest moments as a loving, caring Father who sits beside us and listens to us, but a caring Father who helps us and guides us. And unlike the fathers of this earth who will one day fail or won't be there all the time, our heavenly Father will never leave us or forsake us. Our heavenly Father knows what we need. He knows our fears. He knows our hardships. He knows us. But he also can do something about it. You are not alone. You are not invisible. Because your heavenly Father sees you, and he is greater. He is stronger. Our heavenly Father, he knows exactly what we need at any moment. Now, does that mean that we should just ignore everything in life? That we should just go around and say, well, you know what? God's got this, so I don't need to worry about it. No, because he doesn't stop there. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He says, seek first my kingdom. So, God, I'm afraid. I don't know what to do here. Instead of focusing on our fears, he says, no, seek first my kingdom. So you say, God, here's my job. How can I serve this? How can I serve you with this? You say, God, here's my family. How can I serve you with my family? God, here's my reputation. How can I serve you with this? God, here's my home. How can I serve you with this? God, here is my life. How can I serve you with this? But how do we know that God that we can actually trust him in this? Well, because God, he looked down on us while we were still his enemies. While we turned our backs to him and said, God, I want control of my life. God, I know what's best. God, I know what I want. I know what I need. God could have looked away and said, fine, you want control? Have it. Have your sin, have your fears, have your evil. But our God is a loving, heavenly Father. And he saw us in our need. He saw us in our fears. He saw us in our despair. And he said, I'm going to do something about it. And he came down and lived the perfect life that we couldn't. He died in our place so that we can believe in him and be saved. And he did not stay dead, but he rose again so that we can have hope that we one day can live again. And if our God is powerful enough, if our God cares enough to save us while we are still his enemies, how much more will he provide and care for his children who he has saved? Our Heavenly Father knows all of our fears, and he knows what we need. So seek first his kingdom, and all things will be added to you. Now, that doesn't mean that everything you want is going to be added to you. It doesn't mean that we're going to be having our private island and our private jet flying off to wherever we want to go. He says all that you need will be added to you. And often what we want is not what we need. And it doesn't always mean that we'll have everything we think we need either. There will be times of despair. There will be times of plenty. There will be times of suffering. There will be times of joy. But our Heavenly Father walks beside us every step of the way. And he gives us exactly what we need to persevere through even the most hardest moments. Because our Heavenly Father sees us. He knows your fears. He knows your worries. Seek first his kingdom, and all that you need to do that will be added to you. Well, Jesus knows us really, really well because, you know, he was human, and he still is. Jesus, he knows our fears, and he knows that if he just left it there and said, seek first my kingdom, we say, okay, well, Jesus, I've got this coming up, I've got this, how am I going to serve you here? And you know, tomorrow I've got this, and you know, in a month I've got this trip coming up, how can I serve you there? So Jesus ends in verse 34, and he says, therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Jesus is saying, take things one day at a time. You don't need to worry about tomorrow right now. There's enough worry and stress in one day. Wake up each day saying, God, how can I serve you today? When you face choices in your life, a better mantra than Paul Atreides, which fear is the mind killer and fear is this and fear is that, is saying, God, how can I serve you with this? A simple prayer when we face our choices of, God, how can I serve your kingdom here? Don't allow me to be ruled by my fear, because fear is the mind killer. But God is greater. But often, you know, fear is not just a one moment thing and then it's gone. And I don't want anybody to leave here saying, well, I just need to go home and pray harder. And that means that all my fears will be washed away. Fear is a daily battle. That's why he says, take it one day at a time. Sometimes, you know, we conquer a choice and a fear in one moment, then it's gone. And God helps us through it. But other times, it's like waves of the sea washing up day after day. And we have to battle these fears over and over again. But do not be anxious. Do not fear, because God, your Heavenly Father, is right there beside you. He is in control over everything. He is our Heavenly Father, but he is also the great I Am. He is the one who holds the universe together. You can pray to him at any moment. He is not far off. He is near and intimate. He has given us promises in his word. In your fears, you might not be reading five chapters of the Bible, but you might have a promise you can hold on to. The Bible says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because your rod and your staff, it is with me. Jesus told us that I am with you no matter where you are. That I have all authority on heaven and earth. The Bible says that there is no temptation that is unknown and new, but with every temptation there is a way of escape. The Bible says that if you lack wisdom, ask for it without doubting that God will give it to you. The Bible is full of promises that we can cling to in our fears. Write them down, remember them. But then also, our Heavenly Father did not have an only child. Our Father has adopted us into a family of brothers and sisters. And so we are meant to encourage one another. So when we see each other in our fears, as we see each other battling the fears of our days, are we helping one another? Are we coming alongside each other and reminding each other who our Heavenly Father is, that He cares for the birds of the air and the lily of the fields? And if He cares so much for them, how much more does He care for us, His children? So at this point, because it's important to bring our fears to God, I want us to do a little activity. You'll see in your notes in the bulletin, there's a question that says, what fear have I been battling in my life? What fear have I been battling? And what I want us to do is to take a moment and pray to God, each one of us, one-on-one, to pray, what fear really have I been struggling with? And to write that down. And take time and bring that before God. And after it looks like everybody's had some time to do that, I'll talk a little bit more. I'm sure many of us would like to take time later today and pray more about that. But what I want us to do now is I want you to write something down next to that fear. I want you to write down the words, "My Father knows this." Your Father knows what you are going through. He knows your fears. He knows your struggles. And like a father, He will guide you through it. He has the power to change things. He has the power to strengthen you, to encourage you, to bring people in your life to help you through it, to call to mind promises to remind you of what the truth is when fear so often tries to rip away the truth. Fear is the mind killer, but our Heavenly Father is so much greater. And He is a life giver. The question is, will you trust Him? Will you bring your fears to Him? Let us be a church that is not known for its fear, but known for its faith. And let us be a church that's united, that is not divided by using our fears against one another, but that's united and seeing that when we are afraid, that we can help one another because we are a family. And when God's family is united with one another, when His family is united and devoted to Him, there is nothing that can stand against it because there is nothing that can stand against Him. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank You that You are the life giver, that You are the Heavenly Father, that You care for each one of us, that You see us in our pain, that You see us in our joys, that You see all of us better than we know ourselves. And God, I thank You that You are not a distant God who sees us and does nothing about it, but You see us and You do everything about it. And God, I pray that we would trust You, that we would come to You in our brokenness with simple prayers, asking You for strength, asking You for help, God. And God, I thank You that You have given us a family to help one another, to encourage one another. I thank You that You will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen.